what's happening in the world of medicine.
It was tough to park today. I don't know what's going on out there.
Oh.
Did they repaint the lines?
Yeah, you know, there was a guy who was talking about OSHA regulations and parking space lines. There was a Help Me Howard many, many years ago where he went to various plazas and measured the parking spaces, and they were all too narrow. And that's been a concern for people ever since. So somebody said, hey, we need to widen these spaces. They're making hybrid cars now. Some of them are pretty wide. We got to widen the spaces.
Oh, God. Hybrid cars are the widest. They are infamous for being the widest cars on the road.
I feel like I should get invest in some Gullwing doors since I guess I got room now, finally. That was what was holding me back this whole time. I get those Gullwings going. Really impress the ladies.
Now, are the Gullwing doors like the ones on the DeLorean, or are they more like the Ferrari?
I mean, I know suicide doors are the ones that open backwards. But yeah, I'm thinking Gullwing like the DeLorean.
Like the DeLorean. Now, that's going to be tougher in a parking spot, I feel like, that's too narrow. I feel like you're never going to get out. I feel like you're going to be, your wings are going to spread. And they're just gonna—you're gonna tap the other doors.
Well, yeah, that's why it's great that they're widening the spaces now. Less spaces, harder to find a space, but when you get into that space, boy, do you have room. Swing those doors open without worry.
My car got towed last night.
Oh no!
What, from the hospital?
Yeah, right here in the parking lot. You know, I was gonna sleep in my car. And I didn't think I was going to do that sleep study, decided I wanted to do the sleep study, locked myself out of the car. The office doors were shut until about 5:30. So I fell asleep in the back of the hospital because I didn't want them to think I was injured by sleeping in front or something if someone showed up, and my car got towed because you can't park here overnight.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. Yeah, even though we work overnight from time to time, they don't let us park overnight. The overnight doctors have to park in that other
lot. Yeah, you always have to go park your car in the other lot.
Yeah, you got to park in the overnight lot. That's what they...
Yeah, I don't know how many times I've had to stop a mid-surgery and be like, oh my gosh, I got to move my car to the other lot.
Oh yeah.
Somebody keep him alive, keep him pumping, squeeze the heart a couple times. I got to move my car.
And even still, all the times you move that car, never lost a patient.
Never once lost a patient. I've come close. Some people will say some of those people who did die were my patients. I would, of course, maintain they were not my patients at the time. Never lost a patient. Never lost 100% of a patient. Certainly lost parts. Certainly lost parts. Arms, legs, midriffs.
You lost someone's midriff before?
Yeah. That was unfortunate. That was it was a bit of a shark accident where a shark had accidentally grabbed a hold of somebody by the midriff. And then I was making artistic choices at the time. That was the problem. I thought, I want to make sure this person stays as symmetric as possible. So really, they could have kept about half their midriff, the right half, if I wanted to. I was young and dumb, and I thought, let's keep it symmetric. Let's just cut the whole thing off. We'll sew their chest cavity to their hips. It worked, but I would say I lost about 18% of a patient at that point. And they also have don't digest that well right now. They're missing a few. Well, I grafted on about 200 feet of small intestines, kind of just around them.
On the outside?
Yeah, I was out of inside space, so we just kind of gave him a wrap.
Which I think is a great time for us to give the announcement, of course, that the St. Deaconista Hospital is having their art exhibit on the ER floor, and Dr. Deacon Mister is the premier artist tonight with a lot of those patients, and we couldn't be more proud.
Oh yeah, thanks for telling everybody about that. Please come out. I've never had a gallery showing before. This is very exciting. A lot of white walls that I said I will fill up with whatever I can find. Definitely turned over a few biohazard trash cans for some art supplies. So don't touch any of the art, but it is, it's to be looked at with your eyes.
And you're the first doctor that's had a double residency, one for becoming, you know, a doctor with your practice, but also having an artistic residency as well.
Yeah, I did have an artist residency in Chicago. Painted a lot of marble at the time. That's sort of their thing. Lived inside the bean for a while. That was fun. Really just absorbed the art.
Now, let me ask you, if I'm on the outside of the bean and I can see my reflection, what's it like on the inside?
Oh, it's a real mind prison in there. You can only see yourself from all angles. It's kind of a like an infinite mirror situation. It really makes you reflect upon, do you want to be an artist or not? And that's kind of why I was set back for so long and went back into doctoring.
Now, let me ask you this about the bean. Is it true that when you left the bean, you did a sort of Ace Ventura Part 2 coming out of the rhino situation where you squeezed out of a tiny hole in the bean? That was you?
That's true. I was also wearing a Hawaiian shirt at the time. That was a different phase I was going through. Some people would have thought that would have disqualified me from being a serious artist, but no, it didn't. But then, yes, I did very sweatily squeeze out of the back of the bean.
But the thing is you've got a big fan base, and you got a lot of people that are going out of their way to injure themselves just to get into the ER and have you kind of lay hands on them. They're excited about, you know, some of the work you're going to do on them, and they demand that you wear that Hawaiian shirt. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I got the Hawaiian scrubs now. It's sort of me and the hospital staff administration had to sit down and sort of come to term, hash it out. So I got the hospital scrubs, or sorry, the Hawaiian scrubs. And it's unfortunate that a lot of people are injuring themselves. You can't put my name on the intake forms, and I only work certain hours.
If there was an injury, though, that you specifically were looking to have happen to maybe fulfill an artistic dream, I mean, what would it be?
Honestly, I think it would be a severed lip. Sort of a, yeah.
It's like the Rocky Horror Picture Show intro, just sort of lips in a void.
Yeah, exactly. Lips in a void. Could I put somebody's lips sort of maybe 3 inches in front of their face? And sort of how would that be? That straight on profile, or not profile, straight on, that would look like a normal person. And they turn to profile and you see that their lips are 3 inches away from their face. It just makes a statement about love and humanity. But anyway. You got to separate the art from the artist, just like you got to separate the lips from the face.
It's true. Very true.
Not to keep it about me, but yeah, Dr. Deacon Mister, I'm head of the ER.
Oh God, guys, I forgot. We got to start the podcast.
Oh yeah. Throw your page in the Faraday cage.
Everybody. All right. Please.
All right.
Yep. Get mine in there. Because we cannot be bothered with our patients while we are doing this very, very important podcast that is for the St. Deaconess Hospital. And I am Dr. Brent Ugers, and here with my group of other doctors to bring to you all of the updates and bulletins at St. Deaconess that the community wants to know about.
I'm Dr. Fred Cheddar, podiatrist, and just putting it out there to everyone listening, I will need a ride somewhere tonight. My car has been impounded, and if you want to just take me to your house, we can get it another day. I don't need my car, especially if the person I work with is going to drive me back to work the next day. So, I mean, any takers in this room? Just to get that out of the way.
I don't think I can do it this week, so sorry.
I'm probably going to get those gull wings installed, so my car will be in the shop for a couple days.
I don't want to.
Fair enough.
All right.
Fair enough.
All right. Did I mention that I'll measure your feet for free?
Well, I mean, that's great, but we got a Brannick device.
Yeah,
anytime we want to use it.
Yeah, we all got a Brannick device from the guy that just came in from Athlete's Foot.
Wait, he's just giving those to people.
Oh
now?
Yeah, Dr. Johnson.
Dr. Johnson, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
Also, Dr. Martin got me a Brannick device. So I got a pair of them.
Oh God, you went ahead and got.
I love Dr. Podiatrist. Martin.
You got a second podiatrist too,
dude.
Yeah, Dr. Martin.
Dr. Martin and I used to go to punk shows together all the time, and dude, he's just the best to hang out with. He will get into the mosh pit and just stomp the crap out of people. And if he happens to hit someone's foot and they're in pain, he says, hey, I can take a look at that for you. I'm sorry. Because it's all in good fun, you know? It's never malicious in the pit. It's just you're feeling the music and you're getting that energy out. It's never malicious.
Which is crazy because it feels a little bit like he's out prospecting, trying to like drum up business. And I feel a little bit like when he's stomping on people's feet and giving out his card.
You see him as like an ambulance chaser sort of thing.
Well, an ambulance chaser goes and chases somebody that, you know, or is chasing someone that's already had something bad happen to them. This person is literally going out of their way and injuring a human and then saying, I'm sorry I injured you. I also have the ability to fix this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I can tell you, I know that it might look that way, but Dr. Martin, he's 100%. He's straight edge. He's doing his thing. He's having fun. He's not intending to be malicious in any way. He's just out there.
Does say, if I stomped your foot, I'm sorry, call this number.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, he wants to make it up to people.
We've all injured people to get business. I mean, right?
I mean, I did technically shoot down an airplane. So, yes. I didn't. That's not the point of that exercise. But I guess if you want to start connecting the dots, then yes, I did shoot down an airplane.
I punch all of my customers in the nose.
I mean, and Dr. Proctor, you've purposely electrocuted people with your taser on many occasions when you were not being accosted.
Yeah, I don't know if that was just to get me business or if that was just for fun. I feel like that was just more of a thing that I like to do. Because honestly, nobody has come to me as a patient after I tased them. It has gotten me zero business.
No referrals?
No, absolutely none. I have told people, I tried to do the Dr. Martin move of dropping the card off and saying, hey, sorry about this, but also I can help. It has not worked. People are usually terrified or angry, and neither one of those has turned into customers for me.
I think maybe if you redesigned your card and maybe it didn't say, I want to see them bones.
But that's like my catchphrase. I'm trying to see them bones. And that's how I find out if anything's wrong with a person.
All right?
Like, you know, you guys know what it's like to put an x-ray up on the light board and look at it. And you need to be able to see the bones so that you can see if anything's amiss. If there's a weird splotch on that x-ray.
I mean, I'll tell you, I usually can't tell. There's a lot of real tiny bones in the foot. And sometimes it looks like a bruise. Sometimes it looks like a break.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what. X-rays definitely show bruises.
It's really a guessing game for me. I mean, when it comes to the X-ray, I mean, you know, that was they didn't really do that in school. They didn't have the machine.
they didn't have any kind of a machine that you needed to in school. They didn't teach you about X-rays.
Well, I mean, like, they'd have pictures of X-rays, but like, we didn't have
of the X-ray machine, but not what the X-ray produced. This is an X-ray machine. Next chapter.
I'm like you all know I'm a hands-on learner. Mm. So when they just had pictures of the machine and pictures of the X-ray, it was like these already happened. I need it in the presence. I need to feel it. I need to touch it.
Kinesthetic.
You haven't learned yet.
And
I mean, how long have you been X-raying feet? You said you're a hands-on learner, but you still are guessing at this point. So how long have you?
I mean, I try to not use the X-ray machine that often. I try to just feel it out, do the poke test, you know, where you poke and wait until they say ouch. Mm-hmm.
Well, it also doesn't. Mm-hmm. It also doesn't help because you famously have a fear of feet. You don't like the way they smell.
I don't like much about them. I mean, they help us walk. And that's about it.
We haven't talked about this before, but you, not unlike how the Tiger King carries a gun around in case the tigers attack him, you carry a gun around in case some feet come at you. Is that right? Just shoot a foot?
It stops it in its tracks. I mean, I haven't had to use it yet, but I'll tell you what, I know how.
Now, that's something when that, go, you see,
when I,
you're talking about Dr. Martin stomping on feet. That's pretty innocent, and it's just sort of incidental to being in a mosh pit at a punk show. What you're doing seems way more sort of out there. And I heard you named your gun Shoot by the Foot.
What else was I going to name?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I find it interesting that you name all your instruments after candies and snacks.
I mean, there's not many instruments that we have, so it wasn't that difficult to think of snacks.
Yeah.
I heard you call the X-ray machine the Take Five.
Well, I mean, you guys don't give nicknames to the tools you use in the industry. You just say what? Scalpel?
Yeah, call it a scalpel.
You'll give it a fun name. Yeah.
If I nick an artery, I say, hey, I've nicked an artery. I don't say, we got some gushers over here. You know?
See, now that's where you guys really miss out on the bedside manner. You got to make your patients laugh. I mean, you know, if you're not trying to emulate Patch Adams, why did you even become a doctor?
Hmm.
That's true.
That is a good point.
Good idea, yeah.
That is a good point.
I'll start using fun nicknames if I can. Like, man, you've been shot in the Milky Ways. let me patch you up. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to think of them, right? It's hard to think of nicknames for things. Would I? Ooh, you got some Nestle Crunch Bumps in your abdomen. Let me take an X-ray and see what that is all about.
Yeah, let me break me off a piece of that Kit Kat nostril. You know,
you can probably call the uvula red vine.
Oh, I think that would work. Yeah, I think that works.
Yeah. Your red vine is swollen. I think you might have cancer.
Toes, it's easy. You just can call them little Skittles, little M&Ms. Pretty much any little candy you can refer to the toes as. Little Reese's Pieces.
Interesting. Man.
Freeze.
Your husband was bleeding pretty profusely. We had to take out half his Smarties. So he might not have he might have to relearn how to walk and talk. I don't know.
It just seems like it'd be hard to break that news to people.
Speaking of news, now, Dr. Cheddar, your family has completely disowned you at this point, and you are completely homeless. So where are you at there?
Well, they moved.
I don't know. I didn't know that.
Did they go to completely. Guatemala like they were talking about for the longest time?
So your house was just sold.
I mean, it was never my house, but the place where I slept, yes, it's sold, and the neighbors will not let me stay on the lawn or in the backyard, nor will the new owners.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, the new owners, both neighbors, have rejected my tenure in the front yard or backyard.
Yeah, the thing is you've got to respect the tenure of being inside of a house. Because we're used to it. We're used to it at the hospital. Why wouldn't you respect it in other places of our life?
I agree that I have tenure at the seminary. That's why they can't kick me out, even though I have absolutely no affiliation with the church anymore. I still got a room.
You still got it. You've got a blog, an atheist blog that's run on their server, and it's not helping your case at all. But hey, that tenure is keeping you around.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's, yep.
I guess I summarized it pretty good there.
I mean, we could talk about my atheist blog, but I feel like that St. Deaconesis is not a great.
Well, I think it's fine to talk about. I mean, personally, I think you talk about Neil deGrasse Tyson a little too much.
He and Bill Nye are like the modern philosophers. I don't know what you mean.
Well, Neil deGrasse Tyson famously distances himself from the term atheist. He doesn't call himself that. And everybody knows that he is one. And everybody knows that what he says is basically atheistic. But he doesn't feel it's inclusive enough. So it seems like you're putting words in his mouth.
Yeah, he famously distanced himself from the word atheist. And I famously try and pull him back in at any chance I get.
Yeah. Well, we know how big a fan you are of The Godfather, so.
Yep. Every time he tries to get out, I pull him back in. Exactly.
Well, Neil deGrasse Tyson, he gets injured a lot, so we see him a lot at the hospital.
Yeah, the kids always pay for him to come do lectures at the college nearby, and boy, does he get injured a lot.
He's a cutter.
Yeah, it's crazy. You wouldn't think a guy like that would be so into something like that, but you know what? He is, and hey.
I'm not judging.
No, me neither. I'm a radiologist. I'm not a psychiatrist, right? I can't tell you if you got any problems mentally. I can check out them bones and tell you, hey, you got a splotch here on this x-ray. That looks bad. But, you know, whatever Neil's doing, that's his business.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to be a sexual deviant and you want to go ahead and cut yourself with other people, I don't know how it works. How does it work, Dr. Cheddar? How does cutting work?
Cutting.
Like, sexually.
Which? Sexually. Sexual cutting.
Oh, you know how I feel when it comes to the sexual stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You love it. Oh, you're all about it.
I mean, that's sort of where I zoned out. You guys mentioned sex and I sort of just blacked out for a little bit. Went into my own world. You guys, I tell you every time you bring it up, you start talking about anything sexual, and my brain just goes into this world where I disappear from reality.
Yep, that's exactly what your wife said in the divorce hearings. She said he, as soon as sex comes up, he just kind of goes away.
It's a good time to think.
During sex, that's when it's your turn to think things.
Yeah,
through.
Your wife was complaining because you had one of those little micro cassette recorders on your nightstand, and during sex, you would always be stopping to like record mental notes to yourself on the tape recorder, right?
Well, and I make sure that I do the notes in different voices to gauge the seriousness of the notes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a good system. Hey, if all you got is the audio, how are you going to categorize it otherwise? It is an old school technology.
It's pretty messy. I mean, for a while I was whispering in the hopes that I'd listen harder because I think that it's a secret to myself. But then later I was like, I started getting loud to remind myself to listen to those. Like I'd yell at the beginning. And then the whispering ones I thought weren't as important. There's also voices, especially if I'm doing notes that I want for different people, such as you guys, then I do the notes in like a voice similar.
Like our voices?
How I
do. Do you do impressions of us?
They're not good. I mean, I wouldn't even call them impressions.
I'd kind of like to hear what my notes would sound like to me.
I think you should go through all of ours and do an example for each person.
And I will definitely get offended, so go ahead.
I'm not gonna, but...
I definitely will. Go ahead.
I feel like it needs to be like a memory that I had. You know... I feel like this is really going to diminish the chances that any of you ever let me stay with you. I mean, it's all right. Fine. Oh, I think Pichu would really let me see those bones.
Yeah. I think that's so accurate. That, I feel like that was me. That was me, right?
Oh, yeah, that was a good impression. I was wondering if that's a thought that you had as a note to then tell to Dr. Proctor later, was that Pichu, the famous pre-evolution of Pikachu, the Pokemon, would probably electrocute somebody enough that they would see them bone.
Well, I mean, that was the note. There was more to it. There was, like, the Mimichu and the... There's like a positive and negative volts for a lot of these electric Pokemons. I got into this whole rant. I was talking about Magnetons and Voltorbs. I mean, I think some of them could show you them bones.
I'm going to have to look into this. I mean, if we can have a WB war in the ER.
Which, by the way, guys, I forgot to mention that this podcast is now being sponsored by the WB. WB. We've got...
Yeah, Michigan J. Frog has replaced...
That's
St. Deaconista, what I was going to get into. Which is... you have strong feelings on this, Dr. Deacon, so you go ahead.
So we're in a very... I'm in a very tenuous position with Michigan Jake Frog because I maintain that he is still alive, yet every time I go to show him to people he appears to be dead. And I said, no, I've never lost a patient. Look at him dance. Every time I have him, he's dancing. Look at the cane, look at the hat, he's dancing. And then when I go to show him to somebody, see, he's just a dead frog. And it just, no, he's alive, he dances. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, the whole thing with the cane and the kicking. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey.
You know,
my ragtime gal. The whole thing.
You know what you might want to try is stick him inside of someone's belly that is, you know, got a little upset tummy, and maybe they come up. Maybe he rebirths himself through that tummy. kind of like an aliens situation. I don't know. Look, I'm just an ENT. I don't know.
So put Michigan J. Frog in someone's open body cavity.
Put it in
and their, let him burst out.
In their tummy. That's the medical term.
All right. I'll give it a try.
If you shine a light under a frog, I think you could see its bones.
Well, that's a true fact, and that's sort of how I started in radiology, is I would shine flashlights under frogs and see them bones, and I thought, how do I expand on this? Because if you do it to a human, you get a little a red glow, and that's the best you get with a flashlight. So
and you went, led me to electricity. You went straight to the penitentiaries after that discovery with the frogs. You went straight from
frogs. Oh, yeah.
To
well, people. You know, in Texas, they're always looking for people to work the penitentiaries. They say, hey, yeah. We got death row. We got a lot of people here. You know, we don't know how many of them are innocent or not. But the point is, they're on death row. We got to execute them. We need people to throw the switch, push the plunger. That sort of thing. And I was saying, hey, I'm here for it because I want to see some bones. Let me throw the switch.
But also, between the Texas Penitentiary and here, you also stopped and brought those true facts to Snapple for a while, right? You were working at Snapple, writing the under the lid facts.
Yeah, I spent some time doing under the lid facts at Snapple. And you know, it was a really easy job because you would just get the Guinness Book of World Records and basically rewrite those as Snapple facts. Or, you know, find an Encyclopedia Britannica and just write stuff from that into the Snapple facts. It was a super easy job. I got fired pretty quickly for plagiarism. But it was a good time while it lasted, you know? And if you ever open a Snapple and find out about who juggled the most balls at one time, well, just know that that came from me.
That came from
Encyclopedia Britannica. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, guys, I just, you know, we've got a big week coming up here at the hospital. We are doing a parade on every floor. So we've all got to kind of prepare to get everybody up out of their bed and building a float and and I think it's going to be, you know, more difficult on like the cancer ward and whatnot, but it's a big lift for all of us to get everyone up on their feet, no exceptions, and, you know, look great and have a good time.
This is going to be great. I'm looking forward to it.
Great. No further discussion in regards to getting every patient out of their hospital bed and on their feet.
I'll say this. As long as the burn ward doesn't go mummy themed again this year, because that's just 3 years in a row is too much.
It's a hack. That's a hack job.
Pretty hacky. It's not even topical anymore. Last year they were like, but Tom Cruise just came out with the new mummy movie. And I'm like, I'll give you a pass, but there's no topical. The mummy is not topical this year.
Well, we might have to cut this out because the WB is, you know, sponsoring the show now. So yeah. We can't, I don't know if we can sort of disparage the dark universe that they were trying to create. Or wait, that was Universal, wasn't it? Oh, so never mind. We can talk as bad as we want.
Universal's terrible. You know?
Yeah.
Unless they end up back sponsoring these episodes. And Universal, great. We love Universal.
Hey,
yeah, I mean, Dr. Jekyll is sort of here on behalf of Universal.
Oh, yeah.
He was supposed to be part of the Dark Universe, and then, of course, his movie didn't go, so now he kind of is just working here at the hospital.
And never is Mr. Hyde. Always Dr. Jekyll.
Always Dr. Jekyll. Mr. Hyde's a fun guy.
Great guy.
Mr. Hyde's the guy you'd want to party with. I mean, yeah. Dr. Martin and I have said, we've been in the mosh pit at a punk show saying, man, if Mr. Hyde were here, I bet it would be a lot more fun.
100%.
And hasn't happened yet, but we'll see.
I not a fan of either. Neither will let me stay at their house, and although one of them's fun and will pay for drinks all night, also will not let me stay at his house or sleep in his car.
Famously, so. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde keep separate residences, and therefore, by definition, one is always empty, and they will not let you stay there.
It's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
I, for me this weekend, guys, wife and kids are gone for the weekend. So I've got a wide open, empty house.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm pretty, really right. looking forward to that this weekend. So I don't know what you guys are up to.
Well, I'm just going to be watching some old cartoons, going through some WB stuff, try to find out new techniques to check out them bones, but we'll see what happens. I don't know. It's going to be a quiet weekend for me.
Oh.
Is that art show one of those sleep at the museum type of things?
Oh, you're thinking Night at the Museum. It closes and all the bodies come awake for you? Is that...
No. I'm talking about Dr. Mister's art event. Sure. They sometimes let you sleep at the museum overnight. It's usually for children, but sometimes they allow adults as well.
The museum last year, the museum in downtown Evansville had one, and they opened it up to the homeless. And they're still having a tough time getting rid of a lot of those people. They're still sleeping there every night. It was misinterpreted as just being a, you know, stay here, look at the exhibits for the night, and it's a shelter now. So
yeah, with that precedent, no, it's not a sleepover event, sorry, the hospital. I mean, also, famously, the hospital lights will be on the entire night. We will not have any sort of sleeping area. This is in, it's in the hallways of the ER.
It's in the active ER, yeah.
So I'll be curating, but also there will be stretchers and things running by, you know, it's a trade-off.
So, well, we certainly hope that you find a place to sleep, Dr. Cheddar. I am going to be so lonely in my house this weekend with nobody there and four empty bedrooms. We hope you guys have a great week. And as we always say,
Take two of these
and don't ghost me.